God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. It's time for a little contrarian thinking about President Trump's first, now what is it, 120 days, 115 days? And I know there are people who find this uncomfortable. It's not my desire. I just signed up to speak truth as I see it. And I know there are people who disagree with this, and I welcome that. I'd love to hear people who disagree with the sentiment. You can email me, go to my website, thetoddhermanshow.com. If you want the folks, the management and leadership at AFR to see it, use comments at afr.net. Let's start here with what was just presented on our news. And we are so fortunate to have journalists doing news for us at AFR. They take great care to get the stories accurately. They come from a godly perspective. No one here is hiding that. We have an audience of one, that's God Almighty, and a family of many, that's you. So in the news piece, we just heard President Trump having a fun time talking with a dictator named Mark Carney. And we'll talk later in the week about the reality of what candidates could be coming under Mark Carney. Mark Carney, very quietly, very quietly, has effectively banned motorized cars. That is combustion engine cars, internal combustion. And he is setting the groundwork to ban Twitter from Canada. He continues to pretend that we have a climate catastrophe. And because of that, we need to do things like banning internal combustion engine cars. We need to do things like forcing people to purchase fake meat. We need to do things like forcing people to live in little boxes. I am baffled as to why President Trump chose to, inject himself in the Canada's election. That's his right as president to speak. I'm not saying he doesn't have the right. I'm just baffled. And how he thinks Mark Carney is good for the Northern continent or North American continent. He's not. Mark Carney is a globalist who was effectively foisted upon the people of Canada by some trickery of Justin Trudeau, who himself was a feckless dictator. We have to be able to speak truth. We must. There's a new so-called vaccine on the market, and it is six vaccines in one. It has a fascinating safety profile. And in the safety profile, which you can read in the insert, it warns that it has a whole series of dangers attached to it. Oh, you know, things like, well, Guillain-Barre syndrome, which looks a whole lot like polio. You know, some paralysis, some death. It also did not do any controlled placebo trials. There were no placebo groups. They just tested this so-called vaccine against other vaccines. Now, that happened before RFK Jr.'s time. RFK Jr. is making changes. And since we're critiquing President Trump, I just want to remind everybody that Fox News host Pam Bondi was a lawyer for Pfizer for a good long time, while Pfizer was committing what was, in my mind, the greatest human rights atrocity of my lifetime. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Fox News host? It's easy for me to get confused because that's what she seems to do every night. Pam Bondi. She's, of course, President Trump's attorney general. Do I sound like I'm griping? I'm deeply thankful for some things. So-called Dr. Rachel Levin, who got to call himself an admiral. That's what we do with these people in so-called public health positions. He got to call himself an admiral. He got to wear an admiral's uniform. As a fake woman, he chose a fake woman's uniform. He's lost his case in the Supreme Court, where he effectively said he can't be fired because he's a man pretending to be a woman. And he's fired. Supreme Court said President Trump makes those decisions, or rather the presidency does. I'm deeply thankful for that. I'm deeply thankful that President Trump has served a purpose, or God has served it through him, to bring to the surface the spiritual war in our country, which is now manifesting in many physical ways. I love that President Trump has confronted the teaching of perverse pornographic sex ed in our schools. It hasn't changed, but I love that he's confronted it. I love that he has confronted schools who allow boys to steal scholarships from girls, and boys who go watch girls shower and go, girls don't want that. It hasn't changed in many states. It has changed in some due to President Trump. So I'm deeply thankful, but I also want us to be absolutely wide-eyed. Otherwise, we're worshiping. If we are not willing to criticize President Trump, we are worshiping. And I can't imagine that President Trump would want us to worship anybody but God Almighty. Can you? Now, I'm just the guy with the radio show. God has seen fit to give me this privilege to be on AFR, so I don't matter as much as Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a congresswoman, and she wrote the following about President Trump, or rather to President Trump and to his team. It's long, and it is cutting. Here's what she said. I represent the base, and when I'm frustrated and upset over the direction of things, you better be clear, the base is not happy. I campaigned for no more foreign wars, and now we're supposedly on the verge of going to war with Iran. I don't think we should be bombing foreign countries on behalf of foreign countries, especially when they have their own nuclear weapons and massive military strength. And on top of that, now we're told that we've signed the deal for mineral rights in Ukraine in order to pay us back the hundreds of billions of dollars we have gave Ukraine, and they used for money laundering, sold the weapons we gave them to our enemies, and their leader's a dictator who canceled elections and was involved in the first impeachment of Trump and campaigned for Biden. Didn't we learn our lesson when we went to war and killed Saddam Hussein because of weapons of mass destruction? Did we ever find any? And did any of that oil over in the Middle East ever make us rich? The answer is no. We're $36 trillion in debt today. So why on earth did we go and occupy Ukraine and spend an untold amount of future American tax dollars defending and mining their minerals, as well as potentially putting American lives at risk in a future war? Why don't we just mine our own rare earth minerals that are tied up on federal lands that the government confiscated years ago? Marjorie Taylor Greene. No, she continues. It's a long note. It sounds a little gripey, but she's right about a lot of this. I also campaigned on accountability for the communist and tyrannical acts by the government during COVID. Yet the COVID so-called vaccine still has FDA approval, even though there are millions of reported injuries and death, and this mRNA so-called vaccine is known to have horrific side effects and does not stop people from catching COVID. And to this day, it's still on the childhood so-called vaccine schedule. Why on earth is this happening? Hasn't Big Pharma made enough of billions and billions and billions of dollars on this lie? Now, RFK Jr. has said, recently he just said, he thinks those injections killed 470,000 Americans, the injections. So Marjorie Taylor Greene is writing these things, and I'm just going to pause and just say, remember, Fox News host Pam Bondi, who's also attorney general sometimes, was a lawyer for Pfizer. Let's be wide-eyed. We could be thankful. There's much to be thankful about. Had this country been put under Kamala Harris, this country would have ceased to exist in concrete ways. Most fundamental, which is the right of parents to raise their kids. Kamala Harris stood against that. That the kids are the property of the state. But let's be wide-eyed as well, while we're grateful. Back to Marjorie Taylor Greene's note. I also campaign on accountability for the law that was waged against the American people in the past 4 years. What about all the people who are locked up in jail and the abuse they went through? And those vicious attorneys and judges, are they ever going to be held accountable for the lives they ruined? And I campaign for an end to waste, fraud, and abuse of the American people's hard-earned tax dollars. I believe the DOGE mission is one of the most important things happening today in our government. And yet, where are the rescissions that we should be voting on in Congress? On one of the biggest issues in the nation that I fought for early on, I was one of the only ones that took a loud screaming stand against the evil of so-called transgenderism and its assault on our children. Most normal people in the country can't even comprehend how it's allowed to happen to kids who by law can't even get a tattoo, drive, or vote. How did they get so many of our teachers and turned into the predators themselves that groom children with gender lies? This should be an all-out effort by Republicans to end this insanity. And look at the extreme nature of a rogue judicial system that is so defiant. There are judges who defy our nation's laws and block the deportation of literal enemies of the United States of America. Where's the outrage and the moral courage to dispose of this treason? Sadly, not in Congress. And what about election integrity? This should be the most important issue that Republicans aggressively fight to protect, because without secure elections, protected from illegal voting and protection from stealing our votes, the American people have lost their power. When you're losing Marjorie Taylor Greene, you're losing the base, and Trump isn't on the ballot in the future, so do the math on that. That's Marjorie Taylor Greene with a little commentary from me, so let's be wide-eyed. President Trump has issued a whole series of executive orders. It has been a brilliant move. He keeps moving the target for the Mockingbird media. They can't put a bead on him. That's a brilliant move. It is, in fact, transformational, and it's temporary. All of it. All of it. Everything President Trump has achieved is temporary. If, God forbid, a Democrat gets back in office, they will turn the spigot of illegal immigration back on. They'll quadruple down because it's not law. Speaker Mike Johnson has no hurry to make it law at all. The so-called Big Beautiful Bill, Independence Day. Mike Johnson said today that impeaching these rogue judges is always on the table. I yawn sarcastically. No, it's not. You could defund their districts. That's not on the table. There is a transformational president who wants to be positively transformational. He means making America great again. I firmly believe that. I heard him speak over the weekend about the unique way God made all of us. It was beautiful. It's one of the first times I've heard the president speak in a full sense of awe for how God created all of us. It was a beautiful moment. I believe God has given President Trump a zeal to rescue a country whose founding documents recognize God's majesty in the form of inalienable rights. And everything President Trump has achieved can be unachieved on day one of a Democrat regime. So our frustration is clear. I agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene on a lot of this. So let's keep a list of names of Republicans who will never receive a cent of support from us or vote ever. There are Republicans who refuse to vote for President Trump's choice to be the federal prosecutor for the District of Washington, D.C. Please understand this. People like Senator Tom Tillis, who will not vote for Ed Martin to be U.S. Attorney for D.C. If he sticks with that position, you know who gets to name the attorney for D.C.? Appoint him? I'll tell you about that when we continue, and then we'll get into the world. Be in it, but not of it. This is important. But I don't have time to discuss it here. We'll get to it when we come back. I'm Todd Herman, and this is A Disciple's View. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. We'll get into being in the world, not of it, in just a moment here, although it is begins with what appears to be politics. And I have a theory that that the spiritual warfare that's always going on is beginning to manifest in front of us. And maybe that's an obvious thing, but I think it's becoming more and more now, to me, thick in daily life. That we're seeing the face of the spiritual war in the so-called temporal world. I guess it is temporal. The new heaven and the new earth is permanent. This one is not. Or some people would say secular. There's nothing secular because God created everything. So we'll get to that. But I mentioned before the break something vitally important to understand. There are many professional Republicans like Senator Tom Tillis in Washington, D.C., who like things the way they are. Particularly around Washington, D.C. It's the precious. I mean, you remember the Lord of the Rings, right? The precious. Little Smeagol, that's tortured soul. So when I say professional Republican, what does that mean? Here's what it means. If you were to go to them and say, what do you do for a living? If they were honest, they would say, I'm Republican. Okay, but what does that mean? It means that I do what Republicans do. But what are your core principles? Republicaning. So when Republicans are against Big Pharma, I am. When we're for Big Pharma, I am. So who makes those decisions? Well, our donors. Oh, okay. So you're donoring. Tom Tillis, senator from North Carolina, has said that he opposes the confirmation of President Trump's pick for U.S. attorney, and his general's name is Ed Martin. Most of my concerns are related to January 6th. I'm indicated to the White House I wouldn't support his nomination. So January 6th was what? January 6th was a few people who did some horrible things to cops. No cop was killed. Two protesters were killed. Ashley Babbitt was shot, unarmed, by the way, when she was shot. Michael Byrd, the officer, lied about it later. He, in fact, created a fake radio call, pretending that he'd called in prior to shooting her, and he didn't, so he was falsifying records. And then Rosanna Boylan was, I think, beaten to death. And you could watch this happen. The official autopsy was that she died from an overdose of medication she'd taken her whole life. But I can't imagine being beaten to death or beaten so severely by cops helped. 99% of the people there did nothing wrong. The people who went into the Capitol, most of them walked in through open doors and stayed within the velvet ropes. President Trump had offered 10,000 National Guardsmen to keep D.C. safe. The mayor of D.C. said no. Nancy Pelosi said no, and Nancy Pelosi's dear, dear friend, Mitch McConnell's staff, said no, or maybe even Mitch McConnell did it. So what was January 6th? This is why he's going to oppose President Trump's nominee to be U.S. attorney for D.C. Here's what happens if this nomination does not go through. One of the most corrupt judges in the country, Judge Boasberg, will get to decide. Judge Boasberg is the guy who's trying to build a perjury trap for President Trump. Judge Boasberg is the judge who is trying to force President Trump's team to follow an order he spoke rather than wrote, even though the Supreme Court has already said. No, Judge Boasberg, you don't have the power to do that. So you have a so-called Republican, or I should say professional Republican, Senator Tom Tillis, would rather have Judge Boasberg pick the U.S. attorney for D.C. So understand the state of play. There are plenty of people who like things the way they are. Now, that's just good old-fashioned corruption. It's good old-fashioned entropy. Large object will stay in motion, right? Entropy. But as we dig down a little bit further, I start to see the demonic appearing. Now, I don't see demons everywhere. I think you can over-sensationalize Satan. I think you can, in fact, fetishize Satan. I think you can make an idol of Satanism where it's all Satan's fault and it's never our brokenness. It's never our sin issue. I'm not that person. I don't see demons everywhere, but I'm starting to see them manifest. The spiritual war in our daily lives. Now, listen here to so-called Dr. Anthony Fauci as he urges Americans to not accept what he deems to be the normalization of untruths.
Do not accept and shrug your shoulders at the normalization of untruths, because we're living in an era now, there's so much distortion of reality, outright fabrication, lying, conspiracy theories, that it's so prevalent that people sort of shrug their shoulders and say, well, nothing to do about it, it's the new normal. No, do not accept that as the new normal, because whenever you have the acceptance of untruths and distortions, ultimately, it's going to erode at the foundation of the social order and our democracy. And I think history has shown that. If anybody just looks back as recently as the 1930s and early 40s in Europe when that happened, be careful. Don't accept the normalization of untruths.
He's a slick liar. I mean, really, certainly, you're not going to die if you eat from the tree of the knowledge and good of good and evil. He's a slick liar. And Satan can distort, distract, and depress, but he can't make. So he mentioned the 1930s and 1940s, clearly a reference to Nazi Germany. Might I point something out to Anthony Fauci, who I don't think is worthy anymore of being called a doctor? They forced medical experiments on people there in the camps. And pharma paid for some of that. You did it too. On a far broader scale. To more people than the Nazis ever dreamed of doing. Well, I did it for the public good, to save lives, and to say otherwise is as I said, it's a conspiracy theory and an untruth. Yeah, except for this. You knew, and Pfizer knew, and Moderna knew, and Johnson & Johnson knew that you were lying about the methods and mechanisms of those so-called vaccines. You knew you were lying when you said they stayed at the point of injection. You knew you were lying when they said that they didn't cross the brain-blood barrier. I knew you were lying when you said they were 99% effective against stopping infection and transmission. I knew you were lying because of the public filings of those companies, because they knew they could be sued by investors, just not by us. I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing a man lying in gargantuan size and doing it well. And I'm thinking of the demonic. A gargantuan lie. Surely you won't die. A gargantuan lie to Jesus. Kneel before me. And all you see will be yours. Wait, Satan didn't own that. Jesus did. It's part of the Godhead. See, God is truth. He is righteousness. He is joy. He is light. He is justice. He is mercy. We can have these things. He is those things. So when we see someone who has none of it, and I invite you to show me mercy from Fauci. I invite you to show me truth from Fauci. One iota of it. Now, he's one guy, but he's part of a system. And he's part of a system that's peopled by elites. And these elites seem to think that they are given so much intelligence, so much insight, so much wisdom, that they should be given godlike powers. This is Dr. Anthony Fan sharing his findings in Vietnam after Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation set up vaccination programs there.
We need to wake up. Medical doctors need to wake up. Going back to Vietnam, you know, Vietnam doesn't have anything. There's no such thing as autism in 1975, year 2000, year 2001. There's no such thing. When Vietnam signed the WHO, when Vietnam signed into the International Monetary Fund, the banking system, Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation introduced the vaccination program into Vietnam. Now Vietnam has over a 300% rise in autism.
300% rise in autism since the introduction of mass vaccination. What would Satan want? Would he want a lot of people to be, in some ways, I want to be careful with this because autism affects so many people. There are people who are going to have some limits. Some communication limits, some emotional limits, some challenges, sometimes some limits on their intellect, or at least their expression of intellect. God invented humankind in his own image. Disease was not the plan. Disease came with the fall, our decision to go our own way instead of God's. But think of the disease pushed into our bodies and the bodies of our kids that you can map straight back to the massive expansion of vaccines, processed foods. In fact, Joe Rogan, and I can't play the clip because it's just filled with cursing. Joe Rogan was reporting on a report, I just want to give him credit, about Girl Scout cookies containing things like arsenic in high levels. Aluminum in high levels, levels unallowed by the government, considered unsafe, in Girl Scout cookies. I remember my mom once was deeply, deeply hurt by some actions of my father. She made a horrible mistake. She's not a drunken woman. She got drunk that day. She was cooking spaghetti for us, and she was crushed. My father had left. She was emotionally crushed. I don't blame her for 2 seconds. It was my dad's silly decision. And my mom wanted to put garden dirt in the spaghetti sauce. I remember her asking me to go get it because she wanted to put it in the sauce, and I realized my mom was not right in the head. And I took my little sister, and we left, and I took her up the street to a friend of ours' house. Her dad was a firefighter and paramedic, and I told him something's wrong with my mom. I was in, first grade. And that gentleman, I think it was in second grade. In any case, that gentleman housed us for a bit, went and checked on my mom, and my mom had to go to the hospital that night. So if you came home and your wife or your husband was cooking things for the kids that had aluminum and arsenic and other heavy metals in it, and they're sitting there right in the kitchen, what's that? That's arsenic. What's that? That's aluminum. What's that? That's lead. What are you doing with it? I'm putting it in the pizza crust. What would you say? What's wrong with you? These are our children. You're harming them. What are you doing? What are we saying? What do you think God is saying? Who exactly would want to vandalize our bodies in this way? Bodies made in God's image. Which side of the spiritual equation would want that? Colorado is pushing HB 251312 that requires courts to consider so-called misgendering as discriminatory in custody cases. This dad was stripped of his rights as a father for refusing to do so.
Never spoken in front of this many people. So if I throw up, it will make the news. Thank you for allowing me to speak here today. I'm not a good public speaker. I'm just a father trying to protect his child. I was born in the Soviet Union and defected to the United States as a teenager, seeking freedom. I'm not here as a Democrat. I'm not here as a Republican. I'm here as someone who knows exactly what happens when governments insert themselves in between parents and children. HB 251312 is dangerously familiar to me. It hands the government the power to pit children against parents and parents against each other, just as all authoritarian regimes have done throughout history, and always in the name of protection, and always ending in heartbreak and tyranny. I know this because I'm living it right now. Today, because I objected to my 13-year-old son being placed on puberty blockers, the courts stripped me of my rights. I'm forbidden to discuss critical issues with my own child. I'm barred from advocating for his care. And I love my child. I was not abusive. I was not negligent. I simply refused to affirm a path that could sterilize and harm my son. And for that, the system silenced me. HB 251312 will turn countless more families into battlegrounds. It will tear children away from loving parents, not because they harm them, but because they dare to protect them. I urge you, vote no on this bill. Protect parental rights. Protect families. Protect children. And protect freedom.
Yes!
Thank you.
From lies of gargantuan scale from Tony Fauci about our bodies, to the evidence that our bodies are being harmed that continue to show up, to Colorado dividing families, it seems to me that the spiritual warfare is manifesting in front of us right here in the physical world, which makes it ever more important that, remember, our enemies are not flesh and blood, but spirits themselves. So let's wear the armor.
What are students saying about Wesley Biblical Seminary? Here is Pastor Ava Harvey.
Being a pastor for about 15 years, WBS helped to renew my faith. I'm excited physically. I love coming to class. This just reinvigorated my spiritual life.
I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Come and be a part of our community.
Apply today at wbs.edu. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Discover the difference.
The Bible says Satan's been a deceiver from the beginning. So why is he so big on promoting lies? Dr. Tony Evans says there's a reason, and he'll explain it to us today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Satan's work of deception is to steer you away from the truth about whatever subject you name, your identity, your politics, your sociology, your enablement, your orientations. Why does he want that? Because he knows God is truth. He knows God can't partner with a lie. So he knows if he can get you away from the truth, he gets you away from God. So the reason why we're not seeing God help us more is because we've been drawn away from the truth by the enemy of the truth, who's got us feeling good about a lie. We've got all kinds of social calamities today because people are buying into lies or partial truths. That's creating confusion. And the big problem and the tragedy is that Christians are buying into it as well. Because it sounds good, because it looks good, because it feels good. You have wandered from God, who is truth. Amen. So the goal of deception is to keep you away from God. The longer you believe the exception, the longer you're away from God, and the divine assistance from God is not available to you because God can't partner with a lie.
Discover how God's truth affects every area of our lives. Check out Tony's book, Kingdom Values, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
One day, a very rich man came to a friend of his and told him that he was ready to go on vacation. His friend was a contractor, and he gave the man some plans for a house he wanted built while he was on his vacation. The rich man's friend said that he'd be happy to build it, that he would have it completed when the rich man returned from his vacation. The rich man told the contractor not to spare any expense and to build it the best he could, and he'd pay him well. Well, soon after the rich man had gone, the contractor began work on the house. From his experience, he knew that the building was going to run into quite a large sum of money. He began to think about how much money he was going to make. Then, slowly, an idea entered his mind. Why didn't he use some inferior material on the inside structure of the house? I mean, his rich friend wouldn't know the difference, and it'd be 4 or 5 years before the material showed up. So the builder ordered second-grade material to be used in the structure of the house. After a few weeks of work, the contractor saw the building begin to take shape. He thought about how much more money he was going to make since he decided to use the second-rate material. Then, one day, he began to think about how much more money he could make if he used imitation material in finishing the house on the inside and on the outside. He could get some material that looked like first-rate stuff, but would cost considerably less than the best material that the rich man had ordered. The more he thought about that, the better he liked the idea. After all, the rich man had plenty of money, and he was completely ignorant as far as building knowledge went. So he finished the house with inferior material. Soon the rich man returned from his vacation. He called his friend the builder and asked about the house. His friend told him that they had just finished the house and that he would come by and get him if he wished to look it over. The rich man said that he would. Arriving at the new house, the builder began to point out the fine points of the building. He explained to his rich friend that no expense had been spared, that everything in the building was first-rate material. Telling his rich friend what the total cost ran to, he explained that the best materials had run the cost up as opposed to other homes which look similar to this one. The rich man said that he understood and that he had expected to pay more. Then he surprised the builder. "John," he said, "we've been friends for a long time. I've looked for some way to express my love and appreciation for you and your family. I'm getting on in years, and I wanted to do something for you before I die. When we get back to the house, I'm giving you not only a check for the house you have built, but the keys and the deed as well. You see, you built it, John, and now you can live in it." Well, that's the way life is. We build them, and then we have to live in them. That's the reason we should be careful about what we build. You see, there's very little worse in this world than living in a rotten house.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
I tend to live in the future, and by the time tomorrow becomes today, it's past history to me.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
1 month, 3 months, 6 months from now seem as real as today. In reality, we only have today as a true reality. James from the Bible and the Message Bible reminds me, now you don't know the first thing about tomorrow. You're nothing but a wisp of fog, catching a brief bit of sun before disappearing. I wrote in my journal, am I living in such a way that I'm expectantly capturing all the wonderful opportunities that Jesus brings along today? Let's capture the right now moments that Jesus gives to us. They give us immediate hope.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at Get Hope Radio.
All right, it's a little technical problem. Apologies, and darn it, I did some of my best work where none of you heard it. You just have to trust me that it was good work. Sorry about that. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babylon.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus? Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling. First one here, Kristen Welker continues to try to corner President Trump in interviews.
That the possibility of a recession is increasing. And I want to know what you think about that. Are you comfortable with the country potentially dipping into a recession for a period of time if you are able to achieve your long-term goals?
Well, you know, you say some people on Wall Street say, well, I have to tell you something else. Some people on Wall Street say that we're going to have the greatest economy in history. Why don't you talk about them? Because some people on Wall Street say this is
the
greatest
economy ever. Well, that's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at, though. It's the same question.
Yeah. There are some people on Wall Street who say many, many things. But the questions always seem to come from one perspective. And incidentally, if President Trump doesn't confront this economic warfare China has waged on us, it will be confronted. It will come to pass. And the ending, without doing anything, will be very much like the ending in the worst case scenario from the tariffs. I'm glad he's doing this. I think it's well overdue. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Brian Stelter wants you to believe that PBS and NPR are still free from government control and propaganda.
What do we make of this?
I brought props with you today,
Dan. I love a prop.
I went ahead and read the entire law for you, the 1967 Public Broadcasting Act. There is nothing in this law that gives any president the ability to strip away the funding for PBS and NPR. Congress was really specific back 50 plus years ago. They wanted to create an entity that was free of government control. They wanted to make sure no president could ever pressure PBS or NPR. So this is going to be a legal fight like so many others that we've seen. And I suspect President Trump probably wants it that way.
So he's looked at the law, and you can have that discussion. Should presidents be allowed to do this? I don't like ruling by executive order. That's not the way our system was designed, but Congress made that decision. Congress decided to punt these decisions for these executive branches, and NPR is managed under an executive branch. President Trump is the chief of the executive. So I hear the chiefs of PBS and NPR saying, keep government out of media. Plus, give us our government money. So choose a lane. Do you want government in media or not? If you don't want government in media, stop taking government money. Seems like the best path forward. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. The former spokesliar for the figurehead's White House claims that she never saw any clues to Biden's decline until his debate with President Trump.
I left in May of 2022, just for the facts here, and I have seen Biden once since then, when I took my daughter to the holiday party this last December after he had lost. And so I hadn't seen him in person during that period of time. I never saw that person, not a single time, and I was in the Oval Office every day that was on that debate stage.
Really? Because during your time as spokesliar for the White House, you were asked questions about that. During your time at MSNBC, which still continues, and incidentally you'd agreed to employment terms with MSNBC while you were still acting as a spokesliar for the White House, you defended him against such claims. Where there's massive video evidence that the man was sadly, sadly cognitively declined. But you're saying these things now because all of you are saying it now. Because Jake Tapper wrote a book where he pretended he was fooled as to cognitive decline of Biden. Fooled by you. So everyone's doing revisionist history. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
Oh, on a personal note today, really kind of fascinating thing that God led me to say. I had no idea I was going to say these things, and the Holy Spirit took control over the youth group the other day. The topic was the fear of the Lord and what it means to fear the Lord. And I was walking upstairs, God said, here's what you're going to do. It was completely his idea. I take no credit. So we sat down to talk. Sometimes with the boys, they'll say, story time. And the guys kind of like this. And I told a story of two teachers. One was a wrestling coach I had who at the time, and he's softened and aged and become, in his own words, less psychopathic. But he was a very, very cruel wrestling coach, dangerously cruel, did some illegal things, some really cruel things to me. Probably the cruelest was making me wrestle when I'd had a broken shoulder. And he made me wrestle, and I couldn't move my arm fully. And he made me wrestle a kid who'd never beat me, but was a tough kid. And this guy didn't pin me. He won by points. There was no technical fall, but I couldn't move. And even the opposing team's coach was trying to get my coach to end the match because everybody knew about my shoulder. Everybody knew I couldn't even hold my hand above my head. And having lost that match, then that coach blamed me in front of the entire team for us losing the city championship and called me a nasty word. That's one thing. I feared him. He was physically brutal to people and tough. I feared him. I had another teacher named John Trainer. I called him the Monsignor. I've spoken of him before. He was my staff advisor for the speech I was honored to give at graduation. I was voted class speaker. And I read it in front of him and some select students, and the students laughed and John laughed. But I was naming names of teachers. Some of them had been my friends as teachers, and I kind of made fun of them gently. Others I named, and I said things about them accurate, but cruel. And John Trainer, the Monsignor I called him, took my speech. He had everyone leave, and he signed it. He said, "This speech is approved," and he handed it to me. And then he said, "I have a question. Do you want to be effective or right? You want to be right or effective? You've said some things here that are accurate and they're correct, but do you want to be effective, Todd?" He left it to me to change the speech, and I did, so it was far less cruel. Why did I do that? Because I feared him. Not that he would physically harm me, he never would, probably couldn't have. I feared disappointing him. We can fear God in both ways. The truth of God is judge and the love of God. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.